testing them four times before bringing them to Mount Sinai. They failed every test, of course, and have already disobeyed God and tested Him. And now it is the time for the giving of the law. And I thought it good to carefully walk through the Ten Commandments as they're known, because they're so popular, because so many societies have been built on those for the past 3,500 years, that we should make sure we understand what they are. As I've mentioned, all of the Ten Commandments, except for the fourth, are repeated in the New Testament by our Lord. And there's a reason for that, which we'll see when we get to the fourth one. But the rest, including the second one, which we're looking at tonight, is repeated, as we'll see, in the New Testament. These first two are very important to God, because in both cases he quotes that he is a jealous God, and jealousy from a holy, righteous God is okay. It's a righteous jealousy. So last week, God said no other gods, because he is the only God. That is the primary commandment upon which they all stand tonight. It's no graven image. Again, it's about God being the only God. So verse 4 is where we'll look tonight, and 5 of Exodus chapter 20. And then we'll pray and get started. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So any graven image, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are blessed to be able to meet this evening and open your word, and pray you'll now use it in our hearts to grow us and teach us. Lord, we want to glorify you, for you're worthy. And we thank you for this privilege. Pray you'll guide us in Christ's name. Amen. He expounds this for us in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you'd like to turn there, Deuteronomy 4:15. This happened a lot in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means second law. And so it is where Moses is giving his final admonition to the nation of Israel. And in many cases, he took some of the original commandments from Exodus and gives even more, if you will. And that is the case here in Deuteronomy 4 relative to the second commandment, verse 15. Notice what he says. Take ye heed, therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided into all nations under the whole heaven. So notice God has expounded here about this no graven image, no male or female, no beast, no fowl, no creeping creature, no fish, and nothing in the heavens, the sun, moon, and the stars. All the things that man currently worships today. And we see that in Romans chapter 1. So let's turn there. Romans chapter 1. Talking about the sinfulness of man here in Romans 1. And as I mentioned last week, here we are 3.5 millennium later. And 1/4 of the world who practices some sort of religion, 1/4 of those people worship multiple gods and typically idols. Isn't that amazing? 3,500 years later. So Romans chapter 1, notice verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. So, 1,500 years later, we get the New Testament, and man is worshiping idols, made after the similitude of man, or birds, or four-footed beasts, or creeping things. Isn't it just fascinating that we can get that far down the track and not learn? So, Israel didn't last very long. If you go to Exodus 32, which we will get to soon, which Exodus 32 is the sixth or seventh time that they tested God. And that was when Moses had been on the mountain too long for them. Remember, he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And so they came to Aaron and said, we hate Moses. He's a terrible leader, but we can't live without him. So what are we going to do? And Aaron, his brother, very unwisely said, give me all your gold. And we all know what he did. He made a golden calf, which is what one of the things that the Egyptians had worshipped. Notice 32 verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. This happened while Moses was receiving the commandments. They chose to create a golden calf and worship it. I'll show you some interesting trivia. Go to 2 Kings 18. This is one of those little hidden gems that a lot of people don't know is in the Bible. Remember in Numbers when Israel again failed God and God sent serpents among the people, and the only way they could be healed was God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And if they would look at that brazen serpent, they were healed of their snake bite. We get to the New Testament. Jesus Christ says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he chose that event to liken salvation to. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. That's the two verses before John 3:16. But leave it to Israel. 2 Kings 18, verse 4, talking about Hezekiah's revival. He removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. So they even worshipped the brazen serpent. And so God is explaining to Israel here in Exodus 20. He says, You have not seen, or sorry, in Deuteronomy said, when I gave the law to Moses, when you weren't allowed to touch the mountain, and you saw the cloud and the smoke and everything on the mountain, and the thunders and the lightnings, never did you see a similitude of me. I never showed you myself. And he says the reason is this: if you would have seen any similitude, you would have very quickly built something that looked like that and worshipped it. Because that's one of our weaknesses, isn't it? Is what we see, walking by sight instead of by faith, which Israel constantly did. And so God says, I was very careful to never show you any similitude of myself, because I know your tendency. And my command, my second command to you, is never make any graven image of anything. That's what he says in verse 4 of Exodus 20. Any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. So I'll just be a little bit honest here tonight and just say, I've never even been 100% comfortable with a cross for that reason. But We all have to draw our line somewhere, don't we? Anyway, so God make this very clear. No graven image of anything. Anything. That's what he said. Anything. But not only not make it, but verse 5, and thou shalt not bow down. So the commandment is trifold. It's not just don't make any graven image, but don't bow down to it in verse 5 or serve it. Right? Don't bow down to them and don't serve them. Now, I mentioned this last week, but it's worth mentioning. I have a copy of the Catholic Catechism. You know, I don't usually talk about the Catholics that often, but this one's quite fascinating. Of course, the Catechism's a mess. Just reading it just makes you angry. So don't read it because it's so doctrinally off from Scripture. But there is a section in there about the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting that when they list the Ten Commandments, they skip this one. And they take the tenth one, which is, thou shalt not covet. I'll look at it quickly here. Go back to Exodus 20. They take the tenth commandment, which is verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And they take that one and they split it into two commandments so that there's still ten. Now, that's one commandment, right? Don't covet. But they say, well, don't covet the house and don't covet the wife. They make that two separate commandments. Why? So that they could just breeze right over number two, which says no image. Anybody ever been in a Catholic church? Is there a few images in there? You're just overwhelmed, aren't you? When you walk, especially a bigger ornate one, you walk in, it's everywhere. The imagery is just all over the place, isn't it? And that's because it was founded by man and it's man's religion. But that's God's command. And people break it every week. They walk in and they bow down to these images. And God said, never do it. So don't make it. And then verse 5, don't bow down to it. And by the way, in Old Testament days, if you go look at Exodus 22, verse 20, if you broke this commandment, the penalty was death. So I would say that was a pretty important commandment to God, wouldn't you? Look at 22:20. He says, he that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. So the death penalty for sacrificing unto any other god other than the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of the Bible. But this was Israel's, what are their weaknesses? If you go to Judges chapter 2, and most of you know Judges is a very kind of depressing book because it's centuries of Israel's disobedience, primarily worshiping false gods, then repenting, and then God sent them a judge to deliver them, and then they went right back into the same thing over and over and over again. But here in Judges 2:19, and it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. It's kind of a general description of the book of Judges. And if you're familiar with the life of Solomon, which we will get to in our Sunday school series, why did Israel only have three kings over the whole kingdom before they split? Basically, they're still technically split. They've never been reunited since the split after Solomon. But what led to the split? Well, yes, Solomon had a weakness, and that was women. Who needs 1,000 wives? But some of those wives led him to what? Have idols and groves and worship false gods. And for that reason, God took the kingdom away from him, but not only took it away from him, but split it. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and for centuries, they fought each other. Jews fighting Jews. But what split it? Solomon. Who definitely knew better, the wisest man that ever lived outside of Christ. worshiping false gods. It's amazing, isn't it? So God knew what he was doing when he gave us these Ten Commandments. The first four are our relationship with God. The next six are our relationship with man. So he says, don't bow down and don't serve them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, where we will find out that, yes, this commandment is repeated in the New Testament. Why is that important? Well, like we saw last week, the law was nailed to the cross when Jesus died. You and I, as Christians in the age of grace, are not bound to follow the Old Testament commandments, but we are bound to follow the New Testament commandments. There's about 150 of them. And if a commandment from the Old Testament is repeated in the New Testament, it just became one of ours. So Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." This is the Exodus account where they made the golden calf. And then on down to verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 10, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." And then most of you know that when John wrote his epistle, 1 John, he finished it with one sentence, 1 John 5:21, "My little children, keep yourselves from idols." Keep yourselves from idols. So God says, why is this? Because I'm a jealous God, because I am the only God. And we looked at in the Old Testament last week, Isaiah especially, where God repeats over and over again, "I am the only God. There is no other God. There's only false gods." And that is a foundation of our faith, is it not? That we worship the true God of heaven. And he's written his will down in his word. But he says, "I'm a jealous God." If you go to Exodus 34:14, he says, that's even my name. God claims that as one of his names here in Exodus 34:14. "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord," remember when you see all caps, that's the Hebrew word Jehovah in the Old Testament, "whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." So when John warned us about idolatry, do you think he was only warning us about figurines? If you study the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that anything that in our heart we put before God can become an idol. It may not be a figurine, but it's still an idol. And we have to be ever so careful. The devil's very crafty with his wiles. And then God reminds us in these next two verses something very interesting, something that we've heard a few times, and that love is action, and that love for Christians is obedience. Amen? Even for the Jews it was. Look at verse 5. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Well, they had their commandments, the law. We have our commandments. And Jesus said, John 14:15, "If you love me," what? "Keep my commandments." Sound familiar? And like we saw last week in John 14, Jesus says, let's turn there, that if we are not obeying his commandments, so we have a responsibility to know what they are, but if we aren't obeying them, then we aren't loving him. We can say we love him with our mouth, but the Bible makes it very clear that love is what we do, not what we say. And so if we're living in disobedience, we're actually saying, as God stated here, "I don't love you, Jesus." And in the Bible, there is no middle ground. We either love Jesus or we hate Jesus. No Christian would ever stand up and say, "I hate Jesus." But when we live disobediently, we are saying it all the time. Where was the verse we looked at? I know it's in chapter 14. Oh, yeah, verse 24. Yes. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." There it is. John 14:24. So if we keep not his sayings, what's he saying? we love him not. Amen? 1 John 5:3, let's turn there quickly. This verse drives it home. I know we look at it a lot. But here in the book of Exodus chapter 20, God says, love is action. Imagine that. Love is obedience. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God. And a lot of people across the world would insert a lot of interesting things in this next sentence. Let's see what God said, that we keep his commandments. Amen? That's it. He didn't say this is some of the love of God. He said for us as Christians, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So we can have worship teams all day long. We could even publicly express our love for God. But if we're in disobedience, we don't love God. That's what he tells us. And he's saying the same thing to Israel. Saying, I don't want to hear it. I want to see it. I don't want to hear you saying you love me. I want you to show me you love me by obeying my commandments. And how many times did God tell Israel to just obey his commandments? You would be shocked if you counted. So very interesting, this second commandment, which is being broken by about 1 billion people every week or more. No, don't make any graven image. Male or female, beast, winged fowl, anything that creepeth, any of the fishes, or the sun, or the moon, or the stars, or just to make it simple, no likeness of anything. Heaven above, earth beneath, or the water under the earth. Anything. That's what it says, verse 4. Anything. No graven image. Don't bow. Don't make it. Don't bow down to it. And don't serve it. And if you are going to choose to live in disobedience, then you don't love me. That's what God's telling Israel. We get to the New Testament. Jesus tells us the exact same thing. Keep yourselves from idols. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. So any graven image. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for this amazing list of commandments that has become the foundation of so many societies. Lord, when you do something, you do it so perfectly and so beautifully. And you were able to cover so much with just the Ten Commandments. It's amazing. And we thank you for speaking to our hearts from the second one. And may we be constantly checking our hearts, Lord, to make sure that the devil hasn't tricked us into putting anything before you and allowing the devil to set up idols in our hearts. Maybe money, maybe power, maybe sex or drugs or whatever it might be, Lord, I pray that we would break those idols down and destroy them, that you might be first and foremost, and we would love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thanks for speaking to our hearts. We love you in Christ.